Chapter 21, The Game. Jed watched the chattering teams bustle out of the grove. In the quiet they left behind, he heard how much closer the rumbling was already. Would there be time to carry out the half-baked plan? No, of course not. But they had to try, right? He began to dig, one nut at a time. Every nut would help. The six teams, well, there may have been seven, maybe five, definitely more than four, probably less than eight, made their way toward the other grove. No one knew quite where they were going or how they would know when they had arrived. And while the rules for the game had sounded clear and simple, now there were some questions. Like, how long did the game last? How did you know when it was over? Still, everyone was psyched. Everyone wanted to win. They were all having fun. Dottie had run ahead of her team to scout out the situation. She stepped along a bough and then stopped. Something, a sixth sense, told her she had just entered the other grove. From out of her out-of-the-way perch, she watched the comings and goings. Jed had said you got extra points for moving in without anyone noticing. You got the same number of points for making friends. Dottie planned to try for nobody noticing. That could be tricky because Jip was on her team. Maybe if she found something in this very tree, on the outskirts, no one would hear him yapping. She looked down the tree. Nothing. She looked up. Was that an opening or just a dark spot? She scrambled up to see. Ha! It was a beautiful, uninhabited hollow. Triumphant, she raced back to see where her team could see her and beckoned them to start bringing stuff over. Burke was out ahead of his team, too. Each time he looked back, there were three other behind, poking along, heads turning, talking. When they saw him looking, they hurried up to catch. Come on, he said, exasperated. We probably won't win, but you could at least try. Sorry, boss, said Chebby. We got sidetracked. Thanks for the pep talk, said Jutta. I feel so much more inspired now. Me too, said Chaka, super motivated. Lead the way. And amazingly, they did seem super motivated. Even Chebby, who was older than dirt, hustled back and forth tirelessly with acorns and walnuts and chestnuts. Also, Chebby had called Burke boss. Maybe they had a chance after all, thanks to himself. The rumbling grew louder. There was a whining in it now. Even the squirrels who were playing the hardest couldn't help noticing it. What's that sound? Said Zek. It's driving me nuts, and I don't mean that in a good way. What would you say, said Chai, if I told you that it's humans taking the forest away from around the buzz paths? Yeah, right, said Zek. What would you say if I told you that it's a swarm of giant bees, or locusts, maybe? What would you say if I told you to put these nuts in your cheek and take them to the other grove, said Chai. Burk, 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 said Zek. The squirrels of the other grove began to sense that something was afoot. There was that awful noise, and then there was also some kind of population explosion. Have you noticed, said one elderly squirrel to his companion, that there seemed to be more of us than usual? I thought maybe it was just me, said his friend. My memory isn't what it used to be, but I keep seeing squirrels I don't even recognize. And not one, but two, or like a lot, like that one. Excuse me, he called out. Are you from around here? The squirrel stopped. She took the nut from her teeth with her paws so she could speak. It's me, Charette, she said sweetly. Ah, yes, said the old man. He didn't remember her, but he didn't want to admit it. Charette, nice to see you. Carry on, then. And away she went. Hard to believe I could forget a face like that, said the old animal. The next time she scampered by, he called out, Hello, Charette. By the time after that, he had convinced himself that he really did remember her. Meanwhile, Tsetse coaxed the pups along with an easy path, singing songs and cracking corny jokes. When they reached the new place, she led them down a tree and right into the middle of the grove. We're on a trip, she said to the first local they saw. Is there a good place where we can set up camp? Field trip? Asked the squirrel. Yes, said Tsetse. We're going to a field. To see what it's like. Oh, said the squirrel. You can stay anywhere, I suppose. She looked up to suggest a likely spot. The leaves seemed dotted with big, brushy leaf nests. She was sure there weren't that many yesterday. Or maybe it just looked like more, with so many leaves down from the storm. But who did they belong to? and now a squirrel she had never seen before ran up a tree. "Well, who the heck is that?" she said, scratching her head. "That's Charette," said one of the pups. "Hi, Charette." Charette turned and waved, then went inside a nest. "Sure who?" asked the local. "Charette," said Tsetse quickly. "She's with us, and it looks like she's already got a start on our camp. Come on, kids, we're going up. Bring a leaf." The local squirrel, whose name was Buffy, yes, another Buffy, watched them go. Then she watched another unfamiliar squirrel, this one with a face full of nuts, scurry along a branch. And here came one with a reddish tinge, in close conversation with two elderly grays. "There must be a lot of these field trips happening today," she murmured. "And to think I never heard of one before." She felt so unsettled, discombobulated. Was it these strangers or that weird rumbling? It kept getting louder and more drony and whiny and relentless. What the heck was it? She covered her ears and went off to her den. Something was happening. Something was not right. Something big. You could see it, but you could hear it and feel it. Too, she could even smell it. It was happening even closer, even louder. It was harsh and grating and shrill, with thunks and wailing. Everyone was on edge. One by one, old-timers and newcomers alike crawled into dens and nests and wished and hoped and waited for the bad feeling to go away. No one wanted to go back out and see what it was. It was too wrong out there. Our squirrels, the game-playing squirrels, were in makeshift nests, which made it scarier yet. Some of them were doing better than others. Tsetse snuggled with the pups. By now, they thought she was the world's best babysitter. When she told them it would be okay, they believed her. In a nearby hollow, Burke's mouth was dry. His right eyelid twitched. His tensed muscles pestered him impatiently to either fight something or flee. But he believed that he needed to be strong for his team. He had found them this excellent shelter, and now he would keep up morale. "This, too, shall pass," he said. "The darkest hour is just before the dawn. If we all work together and do what needs to be done, we can whistle a happy tune." Things like that. He had a million of them. And even though Cheba and Jetta, and especially Chaka, all knew more about what was going on than he did, his words made them feel calmer. So maybe he really was a leader, at least in this situation. Chai's team was in a dray that was barely holding together. It was also tippy. It waddled each time somebody moved, or even coughed. Zek paced in circles around the others, trying to calm himself. Chai felt the dray tilt dangerously from side to side as Zek circled. "If we all just keep still," he said, "I think..." But he didn't finish, because Zek had disappeared through a weak spot in the floor. The last thing they saw was a surprised look on his face. Instinctively, everyone backed away from the hole. The dray went off balance and tumbled out of the tree with all of them, minus Zek, inside. Jed, the only squirrel still outside on purpose, was throwing together a quick nest when a movement caught his eye. He turned to see Zek, then the falling dray, falling through the air. He winced as they hit the earth, inches and seconds apart. "Ouch," he said. But Zek jumped up, uninjured, and scrambled inside to the collapsed dray. The leafy heap heaved and thrashed as if it might erupt. Then it seemed to shape itself from the inside into a mound and was still, sort of. Dottie and Jip's team plastered themselves against the wall of the hollow Dottie had found. The opening faced back towards home, so noise kept pouring in. "On the upside," thought Dottie, "I can't hear Jip." She could see that he was still talking. She could tell he was scared. She was scared, too. They all were. She willed herself to lean over and peer out of the hole. She couldn't see anything unusual, except a lightness that shouldn't be there, as if there were a clearing. Dottie studied it, puzzled, until a wave of sound whomped her in the face. She pulled her head back inside and shut her eyes tight. Charette's team was squabbling. She stepped outside, believe it or not, to escape the noise. Plus, it was getting stuffy in there. Too many squirrels. Paws over her ears, she stood on a limb and looked out at the racket. She saw the lightness, too. She frowned, and then she headed off to see what it was. After a long time, the sound seemed to be moving by, leaving. And then abruptly it stopped. One by one, the squirrels ventured outside, where they gathered in two clumps. One clump was made up of the squirrels who had always lived there. The other was made up of the game-playing squirrels. It was one of these new squirrels who spoke first. "Is the game over now?" asked Dottie. "I don't like this game." She shook her head, trying to get rid of the ringing in her ears. "Game?" asked one of the locals. "Is that what this is? A game?" The two turned to face each other. Charette raced into the grove, breathless. She looked from one group to the other. "Charette!" Clara cried the old man. "Hello," she said politely. "Nuts to you." Then she turned, searching until her eyes found Jed. "Our grove," she said. "It's gone."